Today I want to read to you from the first letter of Peter, and we're going to read verses 17 through 23. 1 Peter 1, verses 17 through 23. But before we do that, I invite you to bow your heads as we pray together and ask God to bless us with His Word. Lord our God, we thank You. We thank You for this conversation that is taking place as we've come to worship You. The way You greet us with Your love and with Your peace. The opportunity for us to confess our sins and then receive Your words of assurance and Your forgiveness. The opportunity to lift our voices in praise as we express our love and our faith in worship. Thank You for our children. I lift them up before You, and I do pray, God, that Your word will be planted in their hearts as seeds that will grow. And the same will be true for us, especially as we now await Your message for us. So please bless the reading of this word. And then let us bury it deep within our hearts so that it can grow and bear fruit in our own lives also. And this we pray in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
So 1 Peter 1 verse 17. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through Him, you have come to trust in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. And this is the word of the Lord. Well, I think most of us, if not all of us, have some idea of what life in the fast lane looks like. Life with really no breaks. And then the pandemic happened, and it caused many of us to put our lives in park, so to speak. Because for most of us, life slowed down significantly when we either had to shelter in place or work from home. So in a way, the coronavirus put the brakes on what we kind of call the ride of our lives, or life as usual. And since then, the pace has slowly, you know, picked up again as things get back to some kind of normality. But it's really a new normal, if you think about it, that we're living in. The world has changed dramatically since the start of the pandemic, and it continues to change at a very, very rapid pace. And in addition to the pandemic, it seems as if the stability of world order is also now in jeopardy with Russia's war in Ukraine. And so my question is, has all of this caused you to kind of evaluate your lifestyle? Has what you invest your life in changed at all with all the changes that are happening in the world? Or have you at least thought about it, you know? Because you see, we all invest something in what we call our lifestyle. We invest money and time and energy and enthusiasm. For instance, do you have a home you take pride in? Well, how much of your income and your work goes into that home? Do you like to garden? How many hours have you invested in mowing or planting and weeding? Maybe you enjoy a hobby, or you enjoy golfing or tennis or skiing or sailing. How much of your energy, you know, have you put or given to this activity and to finding the right equipment, etc.? Maybe you count your career success as your personal success, or a definition of your personal success. And so how many evenings and weekends have you given over to advancing your career? Or how many times have you opted for a late night at the office instead of spending time with your kids? Or how many birthdays and anniversaries and vacations have you missed in order to get more work done? We all choose to invest in some sort of lifestyle. But what do you get in return? What do you get in return? For instance, is that investment giving you real life substance, or is the return an empty lifestyle instead? Let me ask you, I mean, has the last 2 years caused you to look at things differently? Has it caused you to ask yourself, what does the ride of my life look like? What does my lifestyle journey look like? What kind of an investment am I actually making? And if you haven't asked these questions, is it maybe time to do that? Stephen Carter and Julia Sokol wrote a book with the title Lives Without Balance. When you're giving everything you've got and still not getting what you hoped for. And in the book, they talk about four different rides through life that many people are choosing as their lifestyle journey. And so see if you can find yourself in one of these descriptions, okay? Because the first one is the downward slide. It's called the downward slide. And I think we all know about downward mobility. I think we can all identify with those times when things grow so gloomy that it seems as if someone turned off the light at the other side of the tunnel. And maybe you feel this way today as you listen to this message. Even though you did everything you could, you now feel cheated. You worked hard, and now you're without a job. Or you thought you had enough in your retirement account, and now the stock market has crashed. Or you feel set up by the very system that you've invested in. And you say, I'm not rewarded as I should be in this relationship or whatever it is. And as a result, you're saying to yourself, well, I don't see any reason to invest myself in anyone or anything. You're allowing your life and the circumstances you find yourself in to drag you down even closer to the bottom of the slide, to the end of the ride. So is that you? Or maybe you're part of the never-ending treadmill. That's the second ride in life that they describe. You're always exhausted. But you kind of fear slowing down because you're afraid you will be losing ground. You have days where you're so exhausted that you worry you will not be able to continue. And in the process, you shortchange those closest to you. You don't have time for proper diet or exercise, but like a treadmill, this ride never really gets anywhere, up or down. You spend all this energy just so you can safely stay in one place. And then there's the roller coaster. One minute you're high with life and with work and with God and with your faith, and the next minute you plunge down low. One minute you're on top of the world, and the next minute you're on skid row. It's up and down and up and down. And there's really a lot of pressure and ulcers and migraines and high blood pressure with the roller coaster ride through life. And the fourth ride that they describe, the fourth ride through life, according to Carter and Sokol, is uncontrollable escalator. Despite your success, I mean, you just can't stop. You keep on upping the ante in your life. You never feel financially comfortable, no matter how much you have. You have no life outside of your work. And both your time and your finances, you leverage to the hilt. And unlike those on the roller coaster, you just keep climbing and climbing as the pressure escalates, as the workload increases, as the debts skyrocket. You're driven to accomplish, you know, something, but you can never enjoy those things you do accomplish. You see, success is always in your future. It's never in your present moment. So I don't know, do you see yourself in any of these? Are you on a downward slide? Are you on the never-ending treadmill? Are you on the roller coaster? Are you on the uncontrollable escalator? Or maybe you're on more than one. Now, since you're here today, or if you're online, or if you're watching this later, I invite you to put your thoughts and your life in park just for a moment. Get off the downward slide, disembark the roller coaster, step off the treadmill and climb off the escalator, and just be still in your mind and in your heart. I want you to take a deep breath, and I want you to take in what I'm about to share with you from God's Word. Peter says in verse 17, God doesn't have favorites. He judges all people by what they do. So you must honor God while you live as strangers here on earth. He says your life is a journey that you must travel, right? We must travel the journey of life. But you must do it with a deep consciousness of God. You should live with respect for God. You must honor God while you're on this ride through life. Because that's what's really most important in life. That should be our primary focus. Honoring God, respecting God, living with a deep consciousness of God. And so with all that's going on in the world, I mean, how can we learn from that and use that to realign our lives in order to give God the proper place? Peter goes on and he says in verse 18, you were rescued from the useless way of life that you learned from your ancestors. You've been saved from that dead-end life. You've been set free from that empty-headed life you were so used to. God has rescued that you from that. How? But, it says, you know that you were not rescued by such things as silver or gold that don't last forever. You were rescued by the precious blood of Christ, that spotless and innocent lamb. You've been rescued from the previous life, not by money or material possessions or things that don't have eternal value. You've been rescued by the precious blood of Christ. In other words, it cost God plenty to get you out of that former life. He paid for it with Christ's sacred blood. We've been ransomed from a fruitless and futile and meaningless life by the precious blood of Jesus. And so you see, there is a way out for us. There is a way out from our own futile attempts at creating meaning and success in our lives. It's a redeemed life that can stop the downward slide. It's the kind of life that can transform the treadmill into a purposeful pathway. It's a life that can add steadiness to the roller coaster. A life that can give the uncontrolled escalator a final destination. And so what you need to realize is that the real problem with getting on the slide or treadmill or roller coaster or escalator is that these are all rides that we try to control with our own agenda. These are ways that we try to keep under our own power. But Jesus offers to take us on another kind of ride altogether. A ride where we are empowered by our trust in God instead. It says in verse 20, Christ was chosen even before the world was created. But because of you, he did not come until these last days. And when he did come, listen to this, when he did come, it was to lead you to have faith in God who raised him from death and honored him in a glorious way. That's why you've put your faith and hope in God. Peter says it's because of this sacrificed Messiah, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God, that you know you have a future in God. In other words, set your faith and your hope on God. Instead of those dead-end lifestyle rides, Jesus offers to take you on a different ride through life. An exhilarating, an exciting life. You know, a number of years ago, when we were on vacation in Canada, my family and I went on a whitewater rafting adventure. I don't know if you've ever done that. But before we went on to the rafts, we had to sit through an information session and some training. And a lot of what they said applies to life as well. You know, some of what they shared with us, I think, can be appropriate for helping us stay afloat in this time of turmoil, this ride that we're finding ourselves in, this unprecedented time that we're living in. For instance, when you're on the river, they tell you to go with the flow. Go with the flow. Don't get confused or bewildered. Don't fight the stream. You know, go with it. And so when you look at this world and our lives, it's important to remember that Jesus sets the course. He sets the current in our lives. In spite of all that's happening around us, right now, as a believer, as someone Peter says was put their faith and hope in God, you can relax and feel confident about the ultimate outcome of the journey. No matter how swift the current gets, no matter how meandering the course may seem, no matter how wild or crazy the ride may get, Jesus never loses track of us. And he's ultimately in control even in the midst of the chaos. So let him give you direction and just go with his flow. And what they also advise you to do when you go whitewater rafting is to lean into the rocks. When you find yourself in a tight spot and you're thrown against the rocks, instead of trying all you can to avoid them, lean into them. Apparently, rocks can be your friend. Obstacles that appear threatening and dangerous also provide the force that moves us along. So by leaning into the rocks instead of frantically trying to paddle away from them, the guiding current can more swiftly and efficiently navigate your raft safely past the threats and the fears. And so who are you leaning on? Who are you leaning on in this time of crisis? What gives your life stability? We'll be singing a well-known hymn at the end of our service today. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand, and all other grounds are sinking sand. If there ever was a time, it is now to lean into Christ, to lean into the solid rock. And then what they say, if worst comes to worst, let go. You know, just let go of everything. It's okay to go overboard sometimes, because eventually you will come up. The raft and our human floating devices aren't the only things that can float. Remember, you can float as well. So let the water carry you to the surface. And once you're up and breathing again, then you can worry about finding something else to hang on to. When we were on the river that day, you know, a number of people went overboard. But once they came up and were floating, the guide would hold out his oar and pull the person back to safety on the raft. And I know there are times when we feel that we're going under, as if we're running out of air. I don't know, maybe that's where you find yourself today. One thing we've learned over the last few years, or maybe have been reminded of in no uncertain terms, is that life is not predictable. No one quite predicted the effect of a virus on a global scale, or that we would be living in a time in which the possibility of a third world war is not just an academic discussion. And when you are out of control, or when life seems out of control, the ride can become terrifying. But remember, we will come up and we will breathe again. And when you let Jesus be in control, you don't have to fear even the wildest stretch of water. So what I'm saying is, the things of this world can offer you a lifestyle. What Jesus offers you is a life substance. So may we come to give up lifestyle for life substance. May we realize what is most important and put our faith and our hope in nothing or no one else but God. And when we do that, we can stop white knuckling our way through life and entrust our rides through life to Jesus instead. Have a fun ride. Amen. Lord God, thank you for your word, and thank you for the stability that we find in the solid rock in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we're all on different kinds of rides through life. Make us aware of what is most important in life, and that is to have this deep consciousness of you in our lives, to honor you and revere you and worship you. And may your Son and your Spirit empower us to entrust our rides through life, not to our own power or control, but to you and your Son Jesus, who have already secured the ultimate destiny, the safe harbor which we will enter. And so we thank you and we praise you for that today. In the name of Jesus, amen.